This is Lindsay Romano with NowDecatur.com, and I am speaking with Councilman David Horn, who is running for, again, Decatur City Council as an incumbent. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the election, and I wanted to thank Now Decatur for interviewing all the candidates.
Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your platform, but first, if people are not familiar with you as a Decatur City Councilman, tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, you know, how you ended up in Decatur. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the first thing that you need to know is I love Decatur, Illinois. I am very proud to call Decatur, Illinois home, and there is no other city that I would rather be. I grew up in Bethesda, Maryland, and spent time in Ohio and Mississippi, Iowa, North Dakota, and Illinois, and I have lived in Decatur since 2005. I met the love of my life in Decatur. My life partner is Mary Garrison. Mary is a professor of social work at Millikan University, and we live in Decatur's West End. This is my 16th year as a biology professor at Millikan University, and during this time, I've had the privilege and honor of teaching hundreds of some of the brightest students in the country, and together working with my students have created a research laboratory that has a national reputation and also serve as one of the co-founders of the university's Institute for Science Entrepreneurship. One of the things that many people don't know about me is that I was a small business owner, and I was the owner or co-owner of a national membership organization called the National Bird Feeding Society for about 2 years. It has been my honor and privilege to serve as a member of the Decatur City Council since May of 2017. I serve as an independent voice on the council and someone who is evidence-based and data-driven. I am running for re-election to the council because I deeply care about the well-being of our 70,000 residents that live here, and I want to see a city that is more livable, vibrant, healthy, and safe.
Well, you were elected, I believe, in 2017. Tell me why you wanted to run. You said you'd been here since 2005. What inspired your initial run for Decatur City Council and why you want to continue in that position?
I ran for Decatur City Council because I felt that I had the ability to help the people of the city of Decatur, and that some of the long-standing challenges that the city faced, such as population decline, higher unemployment, lower median incomes, were things that I had the ability to work with my fellow council members to solve. And so really there was some challenges that the city of Decatur faced. I felt that I would be a good fit in working together with the rest of the council to solve them.
Well, and that brings me to my next question, and this was part of the questionnaire that you were given. Tell me what you believe your role as a Decatur City Councilman is. We found over the years that many council members or even candidates have a different idea of what that means. Being is that we're under a weak mayor form of government, or if you want to call it a city manager form of government. So I wanted to kind of get the feel from you under our current, you know, legislative structure for the city of Decatur. What do you feel is the role of a Decatur City Council member?
Well, the members of the city council and the mayor, we constitute the legislative body for the city of Decatur. And our role is to pass local laws in the form of ordinances. And as an example, it was the city council that was responsible for passing local laws to protect the health of our citizens during the COVID-19 pandemic. By far, the most important document that we pass each year is the annual budget. And most of the time, our meetings throughout the year involve approving the expenses of the municipality that were outlined in that budget. As just one example of our budget, it includes about $71.5 million in spending of our general fund. It is our general fund that supports our police, our fire, public works, and economic and community development departments. Now, that is our legal role as city council members. And in addition, city council members also routinely respond to citizens and business requests for help, and that help is normally in the form of connecting people and businesses to the appropriate city personnel who can address their needs. I, as a council member, feel very strongly that it's my role to provide timely information on topics to be discussed at council meetings, and also describe my views on city issues through social media.
Okay, and I have a couple side questions to that, but I don't want to get, you mentioned about, job creation and helping businesses, and then also about a little bit in transparency. So that's kind of what I want to go to the next. Do you feel that the Decatur City Council is transparent?
Well, let me back up before I answer your question and say that citizen engagement is critical to the success of our city. And so City of Decatur government must be open, we must be transparent, and we must embrace citizen voices. And that is because some of the best ideas come from our citizens, and we need to our citizens' support for the city's efforts to be successful. And from that perspective, I think that there are opportunities for the City of Decatur to be more transparent than we are now. The decision by some members of the council to limit public comment, in my view, was short-sighted. There is meeting after meeting where citizens who don't necessarily know the protocols of the city council meeting come to the council, want to speak on an issue, and can't speak on that issue. And I think what that does is it leads to the perception that the views of our citizens don't matter, and at worst, could lead to alienation and disenfranchisement. And so there are things that the city council could do to improve our level of transparency.
Well, I want to get into the job creation and budget a little bit more, but I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your platform, your key ideas in moving Decatur forward first, because I know you get into that a little bit in your questionnaire. So what are the key issues for you as not only a councilman, but also a candidate right now?
There are three priorities that I currently have and will continue to have after I'm reelected, and those are public safety, job creation, and neighborhood revitalization. In regards to public safety, our most immediate need is for Decatur to overcome the health and economic impacts that the COVID-19 pandemic has had. In 2020, Macon County had the highest per capita death rate and the highest per capita number of cases of COVID-19 of any county in central Illinois containing a mid-sized city. Tragically, our county has now experienced over 175 fatalities from COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. And to put that number into perspective, we in Decatur have had approximately the same number of people die from COVID-19 as we had die from homicides over the past decade. Not only do we have challenges with COVID-19 and keeping individuals safe, the city also saw a 30% increase in violent crime last year, with shootings increasing over 100%. Our fire department also had some challenges, and those challenges included an increase in the number of alarms as well as the number of fires that took place in 2020. In fact, the city experienced the highest number of fires that we had in the past decade. And so public safety is definitely my number one priority, and we have some work to do in getting that violent crime numbers down, in reducing the number of fires, and then as this, and keeping people safe from the pandemic.
Well, one of the things on the public safety is this community policing initiative. Where are you at on that?
As a generalization, I rely on our department heads at the city to provide the city council with what they believe is the resources and the strategies that they want to implement to keep our city safe in this particular case. And so from that perspective, I would rely heavily on Chief Goetz's expertise and as to what are the strategies we should implement, such as community policing, as a way to reduce crime. I would say, however, that if we are going to reduce crime in the city, we are going to have to address the underlying issues that may impact crime. This could include educational achievement, unemployment, reduction in poverty, physical and mental well-being, as well as the conditions of the neighborhood.
Well, that leads to neighborhood revitalization. There's a very large and amazing project. Last time I was able to drive by it, going on in the Johns Hill area. This, I think, will go a long way in that step. How do you feel about that?
Well, thanks to the generous support of the Howard G. Buffett Foundation, the Johns Hill neighborhood is poised for positive transformation. I am confident that the work that the Howard G. Buffett Foundation is doing in investing in that neighborhood will transform the lives of people who live there for decades, and it will serve as a model for revitalization in other neighborhoods in our city. And so it is a wonderful, outstanding, exceptional project that's taking place in that neighborhood. But it's also taking place within the context that in other areas of the city, Decatur's revitalization efforts is just not keeping pace with the need. I'll give you a couple of examples here. The city demolished 50% fewer dilapidated properties in 2020 compared to 2019. We demolished 30 properties in 2020. As context, at a study session on neighborhood revitalization, city staff estimated that to keep pace with deterioration, we might need to demolish as many as 200 properties a year. Our demolition list grew from 165 at the end of 2019 to 183 at the end of 2020. And unfortunately, we also saw an increase in the number of properties that had to be boarded up. And so, very excited about the Johns Hill Neighborhood Project. It will be a model that we can follow, but we still have work to do to really improve our target area for neighborhood revitalization and overall our urban core.
Well, I know, kind of springing from that to another subject, in demolition of blighted homes and areas, I imagine that the reasoning for that in 2020 largely is the issue of the budget, especially with 2020, the cost to demolish, and also the legal red tape, which we, you know, necessarily don't get into. But, you know, if you've got a shrinking tax base, the only way really to do that is try to bring that tax base back. And part of that is job creation. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of your ideas in that area.
Yeah, well, I think that you hit the nail right on the head that we are going to need to reverse Decatur's longstanding population decline. And one way to do that is through job creation. And the pandemic certainly has set us back a little bit. Decatur's unemployment is considered to be among the 25 worst in the U.S. as a result of the pandemic. And at the end of December 2020, Decatur's unemployment rate was 9.6%. And that compares with March 2020, when it was 4.6%. The number of unemployed individuals in December of last year was nearly 2,900. And that compares with approximately 1,400 in March of 2020. Simultaneously, there's just not enough jobs right now. There were about 900 job listings on Indeed.com in December. And so there's really a need for additional jobs, but there is also a need for having the right people in the right positions. And so it's not just that we need more jobs, we need good paying jobs with strong benefits, and we need a skilled workforce to fill those jobs.
You know, and, you know, in talking with economic development, we do have over 1,000 jobs that are available. And part of the problem is that we don't have the skilled workforce. The jobs are there. And what we found during the pandemic, of course, is we have people who are wait staff or work in hospitality or retail and really have a lot of the skills already to move into new careers. And there are a number of programs in Decatur and Macon County, Workforce Investment Solutions being one of them. They're working really closely with RCC and EDC. You know, there are a lot of private-public partnerships going on to help fill those jobs. You know, it's one thing to say we need more jobs, but we can't fill the ones we have right now until we get our workforce trained. What is the role of the city council in that? I mean, you can say we need jobs, but what is the city council able to do to bring in jobs or to help gain a skilled workforce?
Okay. So first of all, Lindsay, I agree with you that there is two things that are needed here. First, there is a need for additional skilled workforce. And from that perspective, I would argue that the city of Decatur has a great foundation here in that our K through 12 educational institution, Decatur Trades and Labor Assembly, Decatur Building and Construction Trades Council with their apprenticeship programs, Richland Community College and programs like the Enrich Program, Millikan University, Workforce Investment Solutions, to name a few, all are doing a great job of creating a more workforce that is highly skilled. But the second component that we need here is we need additional high-paying jobs with strong benefits to retain that skilled workforce. And I'll just give you an example. There was a company in Decatur that has received both local and state financial incentives and was involved in hiring out-of-state labor to complete the project. And our local workers, we have built everything from nuclear power plants to cyclotrons. And so I also think that when the opportunity arises to hire local skilled labor that we do that. To answer your second question about what can the city of Decatur do, I think just like businesses have had to pivot during the pandemic, the city of Decatur is going to have to pivot in the types of assistance that it is making available to match workers with jobs and potentially to create new types of jobs. I'll give you a great example, and that is our neighborhood revitalization initiatives, along with the use of vacant lots that we have. Those two initiatives are going to require a large workforce. We're going to need people that can be involved in the rehabilitation of houses. We're going to need people for urban agricultural initiatives. And so I think we're going to have to find a way to invest in programs that can spur job growth in these types of areas.
Okay. I do. I want to ask you two things that really weren't on the questionnaire, but they've come up by some other candidates, and I feel like it would be really important to mention. The first one being some candidates advocate right now, as we mentioned before, we have a city manager form of government or a weak mayor form of government. And we have had in the past, and even in this case, some that advocate for an aldermanic form of government. What is your feeling on that?
On the aldermanic form of government, I would say that I am neutral and open-minded, and I strongly feel that a change in our form of government must be a citizen-driven change. There are some pros. For example, it's likely to increase geographic diversity of representation on the council. Our current council is geographically clustered. There's few, if any, of our council members that live in the urban core, which is at the heart of our neighborhood revitalization efforts. But I also think there's some cons to that. Potentially, an aldermanic form of government will make it more difficult to address our challenges from a holistic perspective, and that's because the focus of the individuals who are elected may be on the particular district where their constituents are located. Ultimately, I think this question that the voters need to be thinking about is whether the change in the form of government will help us better address those longstanding challenges that we've talked about, like population decline, lower median income, and high unemployment.
Well, and I know that, you know, previous attempts to even consider this have been wildly turned down. There's been a lot of efforts in the past for the, you know, this form of government. I'm not sure it would even be something that would come up in for quite some time. So, you know, but I did want to at least ask you on that. And one of the last things I want to ask you about, because this is also a topic by a lot of the other candidates, and I know that you had some, in fact, you know, things that based on fact and your opinions on this issue, but the Decatur City Council, what was in 2019, voted to opt out of recreational or dispensaries or, you know, the sale of cannabis in Decatur, but there was a sunset considered on that, if I'm not mistaken, in order to revisit that, maybe after other surrounding communities had made their decisions or opted in and see how that's going. If that is the case with that sunset, how do you feel about that right now?
Well, first of all, I am in favor of a cannabis dispensary in Decatur. I was the only council member to vote for a cannabis dispensary when it was discussed. And I'm also in favor of other cannabis-related businesses. Last year, a referendum by Decatur Township, which is represents 70% of all residents in the city of Decatur, voted 62% to 38% in favor of a dispensary. The sales from cannabis are estimated to bring in about $200,000 to $300,000 per year in tax revenue, and the city council passed a deficit budget for this year. And so we shouldn't be turning away needed revenue and prohibit the sale of a legal product, which the majority of citizens want to be made available for purchase in our city. In regards to the sunset clause, the city of Decatur, in its passage, did not include a sunset clause, although in theory, this issue could be brought up at any time with the consent of either the mayor, the city manager, or four of the six remaining city council members. One of the things that Macon County did is they had a sunset clause in their decisions not to allow a dispensary and other cannabis-related businesses. And at its meeting in January, the county board allowed, through the sunset clause, is now allowing other cannabis-related businesses like cultivation centers and processors and infusers and transporters to be in the parts of Macon County that are unincorporated. And I think the city of Decatur and the council should do the same. There is no reason that the unincorporated areas of Macon County can have a cultivation center or a processor or a transporter, but in Decatur, we cannot. These cultivation centers are very large facilities. In fact, they're multi-million dollar facilities. And the city of Decatur has the infrastructure, it has the human capital to be a part of the cannabis industry, and I'm very supportive of it.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like the voters to know? Or, you know, this is a great time to direct them to a website or Facebook page to learn more as well, but this is your chance to give your final elevator speech, if you will.
Well, first of all, in terms of getting a hold of me, feel free to give me a call at 217-358-5003, or you can email me if it's city related at djhorn@decaturil.gov, or if it's campaign related at hornfordecatur@gmail.com. I have a Facebook page, Horn for Decatur, and a website, hornfordecatur.org. I think I'd close by saying, I love Decatur, Illinois. It is my home, and I can't think of any other place I would rather be. I wouldn't trade the people who live in Decatur for any other group of people. We are kind, caring, and compassionate. It has been my honor and privilege to serve the 70,000 residents of Decatur, and I ask for you to re-elect me to the Decatur City Council by voting David Horn on February 23rd and April 6th.